Sabbath, Experiencing and Living the Character of God. Commentary for the December 19, 2020 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. As a small child, dreaming Christmas dreams in December 1960, I longed for the most popular toy for boys my age. For weeks we had seen Mark's Toys Alamo playset advertised on television. It was a little boy's delight. It had dozens of soldiers, both Texans and Mexicans. There were horses, cannons, climbing ladders, and various other props. Best of all, it had a model of the Alamo mission. The walls were sheets of interlocking metal stamped with mission graphics on both sides. The main building was similarly made. The gate of the compound was made of plastic, with raised letters proclaiming this was the genuine Alamo. The image shown with this commentary is from a 1972 reissue of the playset, when Quaker Oatmeal bought out Mark's Toys. Despite being rebranded as one of a series of heritage playsets, the product was the same. They can be bought today for around $250. I do not remember what they sold for originally. I doubt they were inexpensive. I had little hope of seeing one under the Christmas tree, as we were poor and with four children, what money we had did not stretch far. But come Christmas, there was one under the tree. My great-grandmother had discovered my dream and made sure it came true. She and I became close over the years, and many of the positive influences in my life came from her. Living on a small farm, she taught me much of what I know about growing fruits and vegetables. She also gave me my first real job, caring for, picking, and selling her raspberries. That income allowed me to have my first bicycle, and I loved riding that bicycle to her place about 4 miles from our house. When I attended her funeral many years later, it was as though a major part of my life was gone. Gifts are often a way of showing our love for someone. This is true when the gift is given from the heart, instead of from a sense of obligation. Too much of what takes place at Christmas is the latter. We give things they do not really need to people we do not really care about to make ourselves feel we did what was expected. But a gift given out of love and reflecting the real desires of the recipient, like my great-grandmother's gift to a small boy, will have an impact that can last a lifetime. Her gift was not a one-time gift to be given and forgotten. Instead, it represented her desire to be involved in my life and help me grow into a responsible and caring adult. Her compassion helped me to have a heart open later to a compassionate God and receive the greatest gift, the gift of salvation. While salvation is offered to everyone by a loving God, it is not the only gift his love gives us. The Bible tells us that from the very beginning, God set aside a day of rest as a blessing to all who would receive that gift. It was a holy memorial in time to creation and our relationship as created beings to our Creator. How do we know it is a gift and not simply just another part of creation, like a tree or a rock? We know because Jesus said it was made for us, made for man. For many millennia, an unbroken line of the faithful held that day sacred. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, they could not rest, for their lives were no longer their own. But when Moses led them out of captivity, one of the commandments God wrote with his finger at Sinai read, "Remember the Sabbath." With that command, God acknowledged that they had forgotten his gift, and now that they were free, they could remember it again and receive the blessings it provided. We might wonder how someone raised in Pharaoh's court, as Moses was, could help the people to remember what the Sabbath was all about. But Moses had 40 years with another tutor, his father-in-law, Jethro, who was a priest in Midian, and who likely gifted Moses with enough knowledge about God that he could speak to Moses from a burning bush and find an open heart. Jethro and his household may have preserved an understanding of the Sabbath that Israel forgot during their captivity. Some may ask, how can we know which day is really the Sabbath after all this time? God confirmed the correct day for 40 years as Israel wandered in the wilderness. He provided them with manna each day, with a double portion on Friday to carry them through until Sunday, when the manna returned. This allowed the Israelites to rest on Saturday, the seventh day, instead of going out to gather the manna. This lesson repeated weekly until they reached the Promised Land and could live from the produce of their new territory. The knowledge of the correct day for the Sabbath has been known without interruption by the Jews to this day, and they continue to observe Sabbath and attend synagogue in remembrance. At this point, we might ask, why do the Jews observe Saturday as Sabbath while most of Christianity keeps Sunday sacred? This is easily discovered with a review of early church history. You can find such a review in Partings, How Judaism and Christianity Became Two, edited by Herschel Shanks, published by Biblical Archaeology Society Publishing in 2013. We do not find the change in the Bible, for Jesus and his disciples continued to observe the Sabbath God created. Over 80 instances of this are recorded in the New Testament. But two significant events occurred that supplied a catalyst for change. These were two revolts by the Jews against Roman rule, one in 70 AD and a second in the early 2nd century. By the time of the second revolt, the Romans had become so fed up with the Jews that they were banned from Jerusalem. Two primary factors then contributed to a split between Judaism and Christianity. First, the Jews were incensed against the Christians for not supporting the revolts. One can hardly blame the Christians. When someone persecutes you, killing and torturing the leaders of your faith, and then asks you to support them in a revolt, you might have second thoughts about getting involved. No doubt the Jews also resented the Christians for still being able to enter Jerusalem. The second factor contributing to the split was the need for the Christians to show the Romans that they were indeed not Jews. Jewish households were easy to spot every seventh day when they withdrew for rest and worship. To avoid Roman scrutiny, some may have begun together for worship on a different day. There also began to develop a strong current of anti-Semitism within Christianity at this time, perhaps encouraged by this need to separate themselves from Judaism. Justin Martyr's anti-Semitism is pronounced and can be seen in his second century work, Dialogue with Trypho. Some Christians began to call those observing the seventh-day Sabbath Judaizers and started preaching against the practice. It was born not as a command of God, but in the fires of anti-Semitism. Nonetheless, many continued to keep the proper Sabbath for centuries. The canons of the Council of Laodicea in the latter part of the 4th century ruled against continuing the practice. The strength of the desire to honor the biblical Sabbath instead of Sunday is affirmed that the practice should be strong enough to be condemned by this council, even after Constantine converted to Christianity. He looked to unite the various religious factions in the Roman Empire, placing his imperial might and resources behind the effort. He convened the first council brought together by state decree in the town of Nicaea as part of that effort. Constantine was faced with two competing factions in his empire. He had the pagans who worshipped their various idols and venerated the sun on Sunday. He also had the Christians, various factions of which were competing for the emperor's support. It seemed like the emperor would favor whoever could supply a solution that would unite the most people under his rule. Switching a holy day from Sabbath to Sunday would make it easier to unite both pagans and Christians on the same day of worship. A faction of Christianity which was able to provide him with a rationale, if they could offer that Christ rose on Sunday, and suggest that observing Sunday officially would unite both pagan and Christian, would seem to be a faction that would rise to prominence. This also could aid the church and justify excommunicating those who continued to Judaize. This probably also supplied the later foundation for the canons of Laodicea. It required the creation of a new country in North America, where religion and the state were no longer hand in hand, to challenge this union of church and state. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution set religion free from governmental control. Denominations were free once again to accept God's gift of the seventh-day Sabbath and the blessings that come with it. Several denominations have done so, including Seventh-day Baptists, Seventh-day Church of God, Seventh-day Methodists, and by far the largest global denomination, the Seventh-day Adventists. For over 50 years, I have found the Seventh-day Sabbath to be a blessing, and offer it to you, dear reader, as well. It is a gift handmade and given with love by God for all mankind. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the print version online at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You will also find there footnotes giving the various Bible verses that I've referred to, as well as additional commentaries. May God bless you and your family.